Matthew 6, verse 9. The Bible says, after this manner therefore pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody say amen. When we see that passage of Scripture, the Lord taught his disciples how to pray. They ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples how to pray. And he began to give them this model prayer that it talks about. I found it in this prayer. It covers everything that I have need of in life and somewhere along the way in praying the subjects that are mentioned in this prayer. I've seen God do some tremendous things throughout my own life and other people's lives as well. And so notice that when we read, he talks about there is a manner of prayer. Whether you think about it a lot or not, all of us will have a manner of prayer. People say, well, you know, I'm going to pray this way or that way, or let the Lord lead me. And of course, the Lord does lead you, and the Spirit leads you, and he does lead you. But if you pray consistently, you're going to find yourself praying down a regular path or a manner of prayer. You can't help it. It's just the nature of who we are as human beings. And there's a lot of prayer guides out there that tell us about these kind of things. But the Lord talked about, here is a way of praying. Here is a manner for you to pray in. In other words, an example. Jesus gave an example of his life, and disciples saw that what he was doing was working because he was doing tremendous things in the earth during that time, and they knew that he would go aside and would pray by himself and would seek the Lord and the Father, and he would see the Father show up in his life. So he told us about that. We looked last week quite a bit at this very first part, our Father which art in heaven. Everybody say, our Father. Remember, your Father is Jesus' Father, the same Father. We're in the same family. When we think about it theologically, there's a lot of terms we can use, that kind of thing, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about God the Father. And we recognize Jesus as Lord, of course. But an accurate way of thinking about it from Scripture is Jesus is like our elder brother. The Holy Spirit is our leader and our God. The Father, God Almighty, is our Father, and Jesus is like our elder brother. But, of course, he's our Lord to us. And so we have the same Father that Jesus has. We saw in Scripture that was a brand new revelation. It had not been spoken to the people before, of course, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Malachi 4 and 6, the end of the book of the Old Testament, all those 39 books of the Old Testament that are there, all of those, none of those mention God as being a father. The revelation of the fatherhood of God came through Jesus Christ. He brought that into the earth. In the book of John, he talks about love that he brought into the earth. And the word that he used for love there when he talked about a new kind of love that he's bringing to people in the earth. It was that agape love. And you didn't see that kind of love that was mentioned in the Old Testament as well. And so Jesus brought revelation of who the Father was and the love that the Father had for us. And in both of those things come into our prayer life. We pray and we seek God as Father. Recognize it. We talked about that a little bit. Well, we also begin to look just a little bit in verse 9 of him being our Father, and which is in heaven, and then to hallowed be his name, or to make holy the name of the Lord. Everybody say, make holy. In other words, to reverence the name of God, to honor the name of God, to hallow the name of the Lord. Let me show you something. Look with me to, Exodus chapter 3. I want to go to a little place here, Exodus chapter 3, and show you something that happens. In the area of making things holy and making things reverence, there's a line that we cross sometimes, and we do it quite a bit in our lives sometimes, and trying to get away from tradition, as I think we probably should, a lot of things, or religion most definitely, and those kind of things. But still, sometimes we do, as I heard Miss Margaret say many years ago, we throw out the baby with the bathwater. And you don't need to do that. Get rid of the bathwater that's been used, that kind of stuff, but keep the baby. And so there's like that in the things of God. When we think about making things holy, I recognize that the church building that we're standing in right now, or sitting in now, is what, concrete, it's brick, it's mortar, it's wood, it's steel, it's all these kind of things that make it this. I know it's just a natural building. And I know in and of the building itself, there's nothing special about the building. Recognize the same thing about my Bible and your Bible. It's just paper and ink and some kind of cover on it. Or if you have an electronic version of those kind of things, it's just there. And, you know, there's nothing special about either one. You can have different kind of books that look this same way. You can have different kind of Bibles that look this same way. Or you can have secular things that look both ways. So I recognize that in life there are things like that. But on the other hand, knowing that, still the Bible talks to us about hallowing things or making things holy in your life or making things special in your life. And God deserves that special place in your life, that holy place in your life, that place where others are not allowed to go. It's that secret place. You know, when they had the tabernacle, they had the outer courts, and you went into the Holy of Holies, and then you went into the Most Holy, the holiest of all that you would go in. It was a very special place that God hallowed in the area of the tabernacle where he would come down and meet people. Of course, we know that to be our flesh, our soul, and our spirit, and the depths of our heart is that very special place for God. Of course it is. But still, there's some other things that we need to hallow in life if we're really going to have an active prayer life. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Remember when Moses was being called? Moses went out and he did a lot of things and trying to free the Israelite people himself from Egyptian bondage, failed at doing that, and so he ran off and ran away. And so he's out in the woods, so to speak, out in the fields, keeping the sheep and those kind of things. And then all of a sudden he sees something. Notice chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Notice verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Everybody say appeared. He's about to see something. There's a revelation that's taking place in his life. God's revealing himself unto Moses. Verse 3 says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. Some of us need to take time in our life to turn aside from some things. Because what happens, we go through life very speedily, and there's opportunities. There's places of service, places of ministry, places where you can grow closer to God. And it's those points you need to turn aside from your regular life. Cut things off. Cut things back. Get away from and go see what the Lord is all about. And that's what Moses is doing here. Now look at verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him. Notice God doesn't call unto him until after Moses turns aside to see. Prayer is you turning aside. When you begin to pray and seek God, it's when you turn aside to seek God. It's when you're turning aside, and that's when God's going to show up in your life. In other words, when you cut the television off, cut the radio off, cut the CDs off, the MP3 players off, get rid of external things in your life, take time in your life to steal away with the Lord, then you see God begin to show up in your life. The Bible still says in the book of Jeremiah that you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. It's a wholehearted kind of service and ministry that we do in the Lord to where we find him and he moves in our lives. Now notice what he said here. He said, I'm going to turn aside and see this. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and Moses said, here I am. Now notice what God says to him. Remember now, he's on Mount Horeb, just a regular mountain. He's looking at a bush, which before it was set aflame of fire here, it was a regular bush. The dirt he is on is a regular dirt. The body that Moses has is a human body. And he's there in his sandals, and he's there before the Lord. And look what God says to him. Verse 5, and he said, draw not close here. Don't get too close. Put off your shoes from off of your feet. For the place, everybody say place, wherein you stand is holy ground. There's a place that becomes holy. And when we talk about hallowed be the name of the Lord, we are making holy the things of God. And in our lives, there are things that you need to hallow before the Lord. A holy thing before God. For example, when I talk about your Bible should be your very best friend. You should know more about this book than you know about any other book in the world. Amen? I mean, it should be a book that you are so familiar with. I hear people over the years, and there's big debate on whether you have, you know, indexing or not indexing. I always tell people, I don't like indexing myself. If you like it, that's fine. But where you got the little tabs in the Bible. But whenever I use it, and I look like that, it just sort of clumps over and all this. I tell people all the time, if you use your Bible just a little bit, you won't ever want that indexing. Because you'll be able to turn right to where you need to go. You can break it in the middle. You can find where you need to be. And you can be there much quicker than you could ever do if you have to look down and say, okay, what do I see here? Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and finally find it and then clip over it. You know, if it takes you that long to find it, they're beautiful Bibles. I've got some that are indexed. They're real pretty. And if you don't know where to find them, it helps you a little bit. But if you use your Bible and read it a little bit, you're going to do fine without the indexing. All I'm trying to say to you is this. You need to be very familiar with this book. I mean, it needs to be your life's blood. I know of an evangelist who was arrested and was locked up in Germany. And in Germany, the greatest thing he wanted, they gave him his choice. I mean, they were really against him. They were getting him for practicing medicine without a license. And all he's doing is praying for the sick. And so they really came against him hard. And what he did was they asked him what he wanted, and he gave him one request. I mean, just trying to be tough to him. Said, you want a phone call? He said, no, I want my Bible. Somebody said, you ought to get a phone call and call your lawyer. Hey, you get your Bible, you get the best lawyer there is. And that's why he understood, no, I want my Bible. And they gave him his Bible. I mean, it's a tremendous, miraculous thing that happened. But he finally was released from jail about 3 days later. And on the fourth day after he was released and out of the town, in Munich, Germany, the greatest hailstorm that's ever hit that city hit it the day after he got released. I mean, that's a great testimony. If I could let you read it, it's a wonderful thing. But this man loved his Bible. And I think we need to get to that place in life, no matter what kind you get. I mean, we got different transitions and things going on. I'm trying real hard to transition to electronic Bible because I can do so much with it, but it's still hard. It's still a little tough for me. It really is. But at the same time, you know, I know there's a great benefit to it, and I can just get things instantly on that little computer. Sometimes it takes me a little longer right here and that kind of thing. But still, you know, this book's got to be it. I mean, if you're not willing to make this book your just life story, the history of who you are, I mean, you're not going to get very far with God. And you have to hallow it. Hallow it. Don't go out when you leave today and throw your Bible on the dash of the car. Let the sun beat down on it, and it all looks all warped and twisted and that kind of stuff like that. Hallow it. Make it holy. If God can make the ground, the dirt, holy, where Moses was standing, he can make your Bible, like it says, and it can be a very special book to you. Well, what about other things in your life? Are you hallowing those things? Are you making the things of God holy? Are there certain things in your life that because you commit and dedicated to God, you just would never, ever, ever do? I mean, it's never going to do. I mean, if you're walking down the street and this kind of stuff, and Sheila and I did this here a while back. We've done it a couple times, really. I did it going into Lowe's up in Simpsonville here recently. And on the outside, there's a $100 bill laying on the floor or laying on the ground. Well, that's not my $100 bill. Somebody said, if you pick it up and put it in your pocket, it is. No. Now, why? Because my integrity is hallowed. Don't touch my integrity. Somebody say, don't touch my integrity. It's holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. Don't touch. I did this with a receipt. This has just been a couple of weeks ago. Did this with a receipt. I know they charged me the wrong thing on the receipt. I didn't rush right back. They didn't make a big deal. But the next time I went, I told them, I said, you guys didn't charge me for this. And he said, looked at me and said, yes, right, we didn't. He said, I guess he probably just gave it to you free. No, he went ahead and charged me for it. And added it to it, whatever it was, the next kind of thing. But I wanted him to, because it wasn't mine. I hadn't paid for it in a place where I was supposed to pay for it. Now, if he gave it to me, that's a different thing. It's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But what is it? Integrity is hallowed. Somebody say, I hallow my integrity. That's very important. You don't get forward God lying to everybody else. Amen? You're just not. You're not going to get forward anywhere with God lying to everybody else. And so there's certain things that we make holy, and we hallow certain things in our life unto the Lord. I mean, look, you folks have really hallowed church attendance today. Somebody say, amen. You have. I mean, a little bit of a difficult day to be out here today, but you did. You hallowed it today. You said, hey, man, Sunday morning, I'm go to church. I'm there. Going to be there. I hallow that. I mean, there's certain things you can make holy in your life. I mean, I've shared with you, I guess, my testimony of many times when I was a little boy, and God healed me, and my dad said he promised the Lord that he'd take me to church every Sunday after that, and he did. And even though I wasn't saved, I went to church every Sunday. And after that, when I was about 5 years of age, and so from that time on up, I just got a handful of absentees I've ever missed in my lifetime. I ever missed really in my lifetime. My son and my daughter have even fewer than that. because we said this is a holy thing to do. That doesn't mean you go to hell if you miss church. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we've said that's a very special thing in our lives, and we hallow that thing. I mean, I do the same thing about tithing and giving. I mean, if I got money and I didn't tithe on that thing, I'd feel like I was about to go to hell tomorrow. I really would. I mean, I hallow my giving. I really, that's God's money. Don't you touch God's money. That's God's money. I'm going to give you something a little special about that in just a moment. But no, you hallow that. That's not my money. That belongs to God. I'm giving that to Him. I've dedicated to Him. I've committed that to Him. And that is holy money. The tithe is, in fact, the Bible said that the tithe is holy unto the Lord. And so there's certain things. And so in the area of prayer, it's not just about, okay, I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, in faith, give Him praise and expect it to happen. It's just not that. There's a whole lifestyle before you can put that skeleton approach of good ways to pray into effect. There's got to be a heart style and a lifestyle of the way you live that brings it there. And so when your heart is pure and clean before the Lord, then you can come before the Lord God Almighty and make these requests in the way that we've been taught to pray, and you'll see results happen. But if you come to Him with defiled hands, if you come to Him with unclean hands and sin in your heart, the Bible says that the arm of the Lord is not short that He can't hear, but your sins have separated you from Him and He won't hear you. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. And so those scriptures are very real, and we have to make ourselves holy unto the Lord. And in making God holy in our life, there's something else that really happens. Something else really takes place in our life. Look at Leviticus chapter 22. Let me show you something. Did you know, I mean, when we look at what Jesus said in the New Testament, the book of John, He talks about sharing His holiness or His presence or His glory with us. And it's not right for you to take the glory of God or me to take the glory of God. None of us would ever do that, never lay claim to the glory of God for ourselves. But you know what? God does share His glory with us. He does share His glory with us. And it's an appropriate thing for God to do. And do you know something else? God will hallow you. He'll make you holy if you'll make Him holy. If you will set Him apart in things in your life, if you'll make Him special, He'll make things in your life special. It's amazing what He will do. Look at Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 1. The Bible says, "The Lord spoke unto Moses and said, Speak unto Aaron and his sons, that they separate themselves." Everybody say separate. You got to be separated from things. Separate yourself from the sins of the world and the way the world wants to live and tell you that you should live and those kind of things. And the Bible said in the New Testament, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you, is what Scripture tells us. So there's got to be a separated life that we live. They separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, that they profane not my holy name in those things. Notice, you can profane the name of the Lord or not hallow Him or not make Him holy in the area of things. Some of us think it's just, so I worship my God, you know, and I raise my hand and say, hallelujah, holy is the Lord. Now I've hallowed His name. No, you hallow the name of the Lord like that, but you hallow the name of the Lord in things. Things that you do, the way that you live, the actions that you have in your life. Notice what it says. It says, which they hallow unto me, I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. I am Jehovah God. Let me read that to you from the Message Bible. It says, tell Aaron and his sons to treat the holy offerings that the Israelites consecrate to me with reverence, so they won't desecrate my holy name. I am God. Don't do something that desecrates the name of the Lord. Don't bring a reproach on the kingdom of God. Don't bring a reproach on the church of God. Don't bring a reproach on yourself or on your family. How many knows that there was a time in America we talked about having a good family name? I mean, them folks down there living on the street, they just good people. And you find sometimes when kids do something they ought not do, they say, now, if their daddy finds out about that, their mom, they're going to take care of that thing. Because they are some good folks in there. They got a good name about themselves. Don't do anything to bring a reproach. And sometimes, you know, parents want to discipline their children because, hey, look, don't do that. You're my child. I don't want you going out there and bringing people bad-mouthing me because of the way you do it and the way you live it. Come on, you're going to have to straighten up. Think about what you've done. And so those kind of things in Scripture, we recognize we hallow the name of the Lord. And if we mess with God's stuff, we can unhallow His name, make unholy His name. I mean, AJ was sharing with me the other day, AJ has an opportunity in the business that he and his mom do. He just listens nonstop to stuff around the world, Christian stuff all the time, preaching ministry stuff, and he was telling me about the church being, AJ, you said the church being, it, their missionary work was social work nowadays. So tell me that. The mission statement of the church nowadays, have a good connection with the community and make a difference. Now, what he was comparing that to, the evangelist brought that forth, was that go back 50 years ago, and the mission statement of the church was to save the lost. But now we want to make a good connection with the community and make a difference by going to sporting events and handing out water bottles. Let everybody know that we're socially love everyone. Fine. Ain't nothing wrong with handing out water bottles, okay? But if the church has replaced evangelism, replaced the saving of the soul with I just want to cool you off on a hot day, there's a whole lot more hot days coming than that than you can get cooled off from. Amen? And so we got to recognize some things in life. There's some things that are holy unto God. Don't profane the things of God. I mean, let the church be the church. Amen? I hear people, there's a lot of that stuff going on today. So people feel, sinners feel uncomfortable in the church. Well, I did too when I was a sinner. That's part of it. You get around something holy, it does make you feel uncomfortable. You get around enough holiness, you'll shake and you'll quake. Get around enough holiness, you'll fall on your knees and cry holy. Amen? Now, you don't just offend people for the sake of you just walking the fence. You just want to offend them. But at the same time, hold true to the things of God. Stay strong in the things of God and don't profane the holy things of God. That's what he was saying to them. Don't you do that. Now, you can do that whenever you don't make holy the things of God, such as we talk about Bible study, prayer, church, giving, all this kind of stuff. Whenever you let that go in your life and it's become a profane thing, it doesn't really matter, then you're not hallowing the name of the Lord anymore. So, Lord, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Now, let me show you something. We see here God talks to the children of Israel about hallowing his name. Don't get out there and profane things and unhallow my name or make it unholy. Don't do that, God is saying. But do you know this? We hear a lot about us, hallowed be the name of the Lord. But do you know that God will make holy your name? Do you know that God wants to make holy your name? And he wants to hallow your name? In the same chapter we're reading, Leviticus 22, verse 1, verse 2, we just read that. Go all the way down to verse 31. Let's go to the end of the chapter, verse 31. God says, therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them. Now, don't say you're hallowing the name of the Lord if you're not keeping his commandments, not doing them. Verse 32, neither shall you profane my holy name. Don't make my holy name profane. But I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord, which what? Hallows you. God sets you apart and separates you unto his work and his calling and makes you holy. What does the Bible say in the New Testament, the book of Peter, that we are a peculiar people, we're a royal priesthood, right? We're a chosen generation. And God has chosen you to be his people. And he has chosen you and me to be a holy people, to be a hallowed people. So just like I do this, think about it along these lines. Just like I say, okay, Father, I have a commitment to you in my Bible study. I have a commitment in my prayer. I have a commitment to you in seeking your face. Then you know what God says? Well, if Leon's got a commitment to me in praying, I got a commitment to him in answering his prayers. If Leon's got a commitment to me and study my word, I got a commitment to him to give him revelation. And if Leon's got a commitment to me to give and to share, then I'm going to make sure Leon's got lots of money to give and share. I'm going to make holy his money. And we want some holy money. Say amen. Amen. And so, you know, what you do unto God, he's saying he's going to do unto you. He's going to make you holy. He's going to hallow you. He's going to make not profane the things that you have. Your life is important to God. What you have or don't have and the way you live and the way you exist, all that's important to God. He wants you to be wonderfully blessed. Amen? Turn with me back to verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6. Let me show you something. Matthew 6 and verse 10. In Matthew 6 and verse 10. as you begin to pray and you're seeking the Lord and you're coming to the Father in the name of the Father, and you're recognizing who He is in your life, you're making holy His name in every area of your life. I mean, you're just setting the platform, you're setting the stage to make things happen. And it says here that we pray for this. Lord God, Your kingdom come. Everybody say, Thy kingdom come. You know, that's the first thing He tells us to pray for. Lord, Thy kingdom come. That's what we want. We want the kingdom of God revealed in the earth. We want a manifestation of the kingdom principles of God in the earth. Now, hold on to that, because this, you know, the only way the kingdom is going to be manifest in the earth is if the kingdom is manifest through you. So I got to get the kingdom in me before we ever going to get the kingdom in the earth. And so in some regard, when we look at the church in America, and I hate to use bad words about some things because it's not God's true church at all, but on the other hand, there's a lot of things in America that calls itself church. And if you want to look at the sorriest state of some of the church in America, we think about that, it's because people have been trying to pray the kingdom out there but not trying to pray the kingdom in here. And the kingdom out there don't change until the kingdom in here changes. Nothing happens out there until something happens in here. And so, you know, people can get to where they just look at the externals all the time, but not looking at themselves and seeing how they need to manifest the kingdom of God in their own lives. And when I pray the kingdom comes, or thy kingdom come, let me just give you a little thought on that. Murray said this. He said, the son and heir of a king, notice you're the son of the king, the heir of the king, has no higher ambition than the glory of his father's kingdom. What should make Christians most satisfied? What should make Christians most happy? What should be the Christian delight? It's not more stuff and things and individual stuff for you and I, which we're going to get a bunch of that. That's fine. But that's not it. Our purpose, our motivation in life is to see the kingdom of the Father revealed. That's what it's all about. We want to see the kingdom of the Father revealed in this earth. He's our Father. We want to make sure His business goes well. We want to make sure we're part of it as a son and heir, that we're continuing the lineage of the kingdom of the Father. Now, let me read you this. It says, in the time of war or danger, this becomes his passion. He can think of nothing else. And we're definitely in a time of war and danger here on planet Earth. The kingdom of God suffers violence, Jesus said. The violent take it by force. And so our primary thing is to see the kingdom of God revealed in this earth. That's what we're praying for. Lord God, your kingdom come. The children of the Father are here in the enemy's territory, where the kingdom, which is in heaven, is not yet fully manifested. Now, the kingdom is revealed and manifested through Jesus as he reveals himself in our lives, and each one of us individually begin to manifest the kingdom of God. But there's a whole world of people that don't know anything about the kingdom of God, don't want the kingdom of God, don't want anything to do with the kingdom of God, can't stand the kingdom of God, hate the kingdom of God, thereby they hate you. Amen? I didn't come to church today when it's snowing to find out that everybody hated me. All right, but anyway. That's what's going on. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If you're not hated by at least some people in this world, you're not living much like Jesus, really. Because if they hated him, they'll hate you. Now, on the other hand, there's a lot of folks out there that they just don't have it all together, don't know what's going on, and they recognize you as a good person. That's fine, too. That's okay. Okay? Nothing wrong in all that. But at the same time, it's my job to pray in the kingdom of God. That's what I want to do. I want to pray in God's kingdom. I mean, you get God's kingdom in the earth and all the stuff they talk about, redoing health care and the insurance and all this other kind of stuff, the weather stuff. You get the kingdom of God prayed and ain't nobody going to need no insurance. Amen? I mean, really, that's just the truth. That's just the truth of what it is. Look at me in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 17. Let me show you something there. Romans 14. Wait a minute. Yeah, no, you're right. Go to Romans 14, 17. Romans 14, 17. Romans 14, 17. Pray in the kingdom. Once you do this, you get God's kingdom prayed in, then you'll see him open up all kind of things to you. Romans 14 and verse 7. It's amazing. You pray in the kingdom, God do good stuff for you. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not, King James says meat and drink, but food and drink, but righteousness. Not food and drink, but righteousness. Pastor friend talked to me here a few weeks ago. He's a wonderful man, he is. He's just fighting this struggle. There's a struggle throughout America. Tim and Lowe did a revival for us, talked to me the other day, told me about it. He said he never seen churches like going on today with people just staying away from churches like they are. And this pastor friend was talking to me about different things. He said, well, what we're doing on Wednesday night is we're having dinner on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. I said, what you doing that for? He said, well, so we can get a crowd, 7. I mean, I don't know what happened to folks years ago when Priscilla and I first got saved. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, and Wednesday night. And went to practice sessions and other things that we did. I mean, we just at church all the time. And I know different things have, changed up in society, and there's different things, and sometimes there's reasons people are not able to come. I understand that, work situation, second shift, that kind of stuff. But then there's some other reasons sometimes where there's no reason at all. Somebody say, amen. Really. And so this precious pastor, good man, he's trying to get his congregation in on Wednesday night to get them fed and get them in the Bible study and the things of God and whatever he can do to help them keep them in the things of God. And so what he's doing, he's having dinner there at 6 o'clock. And if he can get everybody, spaghetti dinner or pizza dinners, everything they do, then hopefully they'll come and eat and they'll stay. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is not food and drink. I'm not being hard on this pastor. He's a good man. He really is. Okay. But that's just not the kingdom of God. If you got to promise people, in the world is like that. You know what the world wants the church to be? The world wants the church to be some kind of social agency that dispenses care to the community. They want the listen to the news. Whenever something happens, where was the church when the tornado came through? Why didn't the church give $20,000 to this? Where was the church when this? Why didn't they donate this? Why didn't they do this? And everything they ask the church for, some of those things are good. But everything they ask the church for is something community or social oriented. Now, if that same group of people that said that, where was the church when this happened? And the church did show up at that church, like we've done, other people have done as well, and did show up at that place with a $20,000 check, and 1,000 tracts that said gay people are going to hell if they don't get saved, they'd want the church to go back where they came from, wouldn't they? And take your $20,000 with you, what they'd say. So they want the church to be socially kind of things, but they don't want to hear the gospel. But the kingdom of God is just not all about food and drink. Amen? It's not about that. What is it about? Verse 17. It's not about food and drink, but it's about righteousness. Somebody say righteousness. It's about peace. Say peace. And what is it? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Being happy. Amen? What's that old time religion do? It gives you joy, doesn't it? I've got that joy, 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 joy in my soul. Down in my heart. Or so hard. Either one, make it either one. It don't matter. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy that I forgot the love of Jesus in my heart. Remember that song? What happened to us today? You know, we sing songs today in churches. I've never mentioned the name of Jesus. Don't mention anything about the blood of Jesus. Don't mention anything about the word. I mean, just all kind of wild stuff. It would fit just as well if it was being sung at some romantic love story place as it does in church. It seemed like it's the same song. Amen? Nothing wrong with being in love. I'm in love. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? The thing is, the church, the world wants the church to be just like it. And you're not going to get righteousness and peace and joy by acting like the world because they don't have it. And so when we're praying for the kingdom to come, what's the kingdom? The kingdom is not food and drink. It's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Now in a few moments we'll talk about praying and, praying in food and drink. That's all right too. But not first. First in line is praying the kingdom of God. We're going to pray in the kingdom of God. That's what we're going to do. Praying in the kingdom of God. That's what we want to happen. You want to ask yourself about everything you do in your life. How is this going to advance the kingdom? How is this going to work in God's kingdom? How is this working in God's plan and His economy and His scope of things and His purposes? How is this going to work? Because that's the first thing first is the kingdom of God. Now, you know what? Look what Scripture says there. Notice this. I hadn't saw this until just recently, but notice what he said. Verse 17, let's read it one more time. The kingdom of God's not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ. Okay? In these things of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God. You want to be acceptable to God? There's how. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What else does it say? And is approved of men. You have favor in this world. You can be approved of men, and you can be acceptable before the Lord when you make kingdom priorities your priorities in your life. And that's where we really need to be in our prayer life. That's why I'm praying for. I mean, you know, it's not wrong. We think about praying sometimes. I heard Brother Copeland say this many years ago. He was talking about praying and praying for his body. And he said he's going to say he's healed continually. He believed that he was until God healed him, but he's going to keep on saying it. And somebody asked Brother Copeland, well, he said, well, what if you don't get healed? He said, now how do you think it's look God, make God look if I don't get healed? He said, because I'm going to say it right till the day I die that I'm healed. Well, you know what? He's been living many, many years since then. I believe he'll live a few more, I'm sure. But you know what? The thing about it is this. You put God to the place where you're accepted of God, and you begin to say the things of God, and you're praying in the kingdom, and you're going to see God come to your rescue on those things. He's going to be there for you. That's acceptable when you put him first in life. And you begin just speaking the things of God into your life, believing it. I prayed that way myself before, and various times in my life, at different times I need healing. God, how's it going to look? How's it going to look on you, God? I've been telling about you a healer, and you heal people, and I've asked you for healing. How's it going to look on you if I'm not healed? I mean, you know, pray that kind of prayer. But it didn't last very long, for sure. Because you can't get one over on God, for sure. Remember this little story I tell you about Jack Coe? Jack Coe's praying in the afternoon. Worldwide evangelist Jack Coe back in the 40s and 50s. And late 40s, late 50s. And so he's preaching and he's at a church. And he's up there with 1-9 in the revival. And he's just starting out. And he's there with the pastor and they're preaching at church. And Jack Coe said, I want everybody to come tomorrow night. Bring anybody. Doesn't matter what's wrong with them. Sick, afflicted. I don't care what it is. Bring them in. God's going to heal the sick. We serve a great and mighty God. And God's going to heal the sick. Bring them in. Doesn't matter who they are. Bring them in. And that's what he said. Take an ambulance and go to the hospital and get them out of bed and bring them in. And that's what Jack said. And so after the service, the pastor talked to Jack and said, Jack, I don't know what's going on tonight, but while you're preaching, do you know what you said? And he said, Jack, you said, he said, yeah, I know what I said. I said that God's going to heal the sick tomorrow. That's what I said. And the pastor looked at me and said, yeah, but, you know, it's going to be a lot of big thing here. What if he don't? Jack said, yeah, but what if he does? The pastor said, but what if he don't? Jack said, but what if he does? And Jack Coe just argued with that pastor about it. So Jack goes home and he's praying and he's seeking God and he's talking to God and he says, God, what if you don't heal the sick tomorrow night? And he said, the Lord spoke to him. He said, Jack, you do what you're supposed to do and I guarantee you I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And that's where we understand this thing. You put the kingdom of God first in your life. You ain't going to see God let you down. And God just leave you stranded out there. Amen? Amen? Put the kingdom of God first in your life. He talks about doing that. And the thing about it, when we think about this understanding of this, I don't think some of us understand what it's about when we're doing the work of the Father. You know what? Healing, finances, other stuff in our life is like a byproduct of putting God first in your life. It is. Now, you can flip the things on it. And you're going to have a lot of problems receiving from God. But it's like a byproduct of getting things done. I think about that sometimes, that when we are in this kingdom, you are a child of the Father God. Everybody say, I'm a child of the Father God. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. And it's my greatest joy, not for me to have this, that, or the other, and thank God he's given me bunches of this, that, and the other. But it's not my greatest joy for that. It's my greatest joy to see the work of the Father carried out. And to see the kingdom of God advance. I mean, I just sometimes see things, God do something, like, go God. That is good. Do it, God. And we live that life. And I thought of an example that Shelah's brother, who's gone on to be with the Lord now, and he was another one of those miracle cases where he prayed and seen him come to the Lord in the last 6 months of his life. And but what he did growing up is sort of an example of how we put the Father God first in our lives. And growing up, he was the only son in the family. And so he worked with her dad. Her dad was always doing stuff around the house, buying and selling. I mean, he's going to buy and sell whatever it is. Started out buying and selling shovels. I mean, just bought him some shovels, went to the Jockey Lot and sold those, made some profit, went and bought some more and sold them. I mean, he was just always buying and selling stuff. Sort of a country fellow, and he's just going to do what he can to make a living. He had a heart attack when he was in school as a very young person and didn't have much education at all. Had a heart attack and worked one day in the mill, and they fired him from the mill because he wasn't able to do it. And so he just had struggles in life, but he learned to buy and sell. Well, her brother who's about 3 years older than what we would be, and Mason, what, 31? But anyway, Mason, about a few years older than what we would be. And he worked with his dad all the time. If you ever ask him anything about that business, it would always be her dad's name, J.A. Stone. The people on the street called him Red Stone. Red Stone's got it. He can get it for you. He can make it happen for you, do it. But it was her brother, who was much younger, of course, than his father, who was doing most all the work. And he literally did so much work in his schooling that he quit school early to work with his dad. I don't recommend you do that. I'm just saying he did it. He quit school. He didn't graduate high school. And he quit school to work with her dad. And when I saw him, everything he was doing was always promote her dad. Now, the flip side of that is the more that he promoted her dad, the more her dad promoted him. And because of a lot of that, I mean, you know, there was like five girls and one son. And her dad gave the son, you know, 5 acres of land right in front of the house, built a house on, across the street, down the road. And that was fine. He'd spent his life working for her dad. And in so doing, in sacrificing, making all commitments to make that thing. You know, some people don't realize about stuff like that nowadays. You need to go back and listen to the, you ever listen to the song Patches? Patches, I'm depending on you, son. About a man dying, tried to do my best, it's up to you to do the rest. It's about a man who dies, and his son takes over as the family and makes the sacrifices and the commitments, whatever it makes, to make the family work. And there's some folks done that. We don't hear much about that nowadays. But I guarantee you, some of you got some moms and dads, grandma and grandpas that did that very same thing. And they paid the price, whatever it was, because the family was so important. The family was so important. You know what? We got to get that kind of thinking within the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is so important. It's just not all about you and your next good thing that's going to happen, and we're going to have some good ones, okay? Amen? But it's not just all about that. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. Because we're getting ready. We're going to leave this world one day, and when we do, I want to take a lot of people with us, don't you? I want to see our brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, moms and dads. I want to see them all saved, all in heaven. Amen? That's the kingdom of God approach. That's what we've got to do. And the Bible teaches us that when we pray, one of the first things we pray is, thy kingdom come. First place it needs to come is in me. And when it comes in me, it will flower out and become a revelation into other people as well. Make it happen. Amen? Stand up with me. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, I come before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, God, and in this world that we live in, Father God, that is so me-centered, that is so materialistic in all things, that is so much the I word continually. Father God, let us truly put you first place in our life. God, let us truly, Lord God, give our life and be devoted, Father, for your kingdom, Lord, and what you want, Father. Truly the prayer of Jesus, not our will, but your will be done in this earth, Almighty God. Let it be our number one priority in all we do. Pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And above all else and everything else, I pray, thy kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Begin it in me, Lord. Your kingdom come. Amen, amen. God bless. God bless. Good to see you today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.